this morning. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this moment once again. We thank you for your presence meeting us here once again. Jesus, we thank you for richly blessing our time together. If you don't show up when we meet, Lord, nothing happens. But Lord, because you promise to be with us and to be present where two or more are gathered, God, we know that when you show up, anything can happen, and it often does. And we thank you for that moment and that anointing, that breakthrough here in this place this morning in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for your blessing upon upon the offering. I thank you for your blessing upon this time of the word. I thank you for your blessing, your rich, glorious blessing upon this time together. Why don't you put your hand on your belly, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me do what you want me to do. And be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Parents, some of you guys can probably relate to this. And even kids, you've probably experienced this on either, you've been on one side of this or the other. How many have ever been messing around with the kids? This happens with my sons once in a while. We might be messing around and wrestling around, you know what I mean? And I'm choke slamming them and showing them all the old wrestling moves that I grew up with and all that. But all of a sudden, man, they might get a little too rambunctious. I might catch a foot to the crotch or something from Luca or whatever because he gets a little wild. And all of a sudden, I've got to be like, whoa, hold on, let's we got to chill out, we got to stop. And then and how many know that once you get like a kid, especially like, and it's really any age boy, I think from like 40 all the way down to like a baby, like, you know, men, you know, once we get wound up, we can't just instantly shut it off. You know what I mean? But I need them sometime to like, hey, all right, we got to bring this down a notch. We're about to get thrown through a window or something. And all of a sudden, like, you know, you're playing around, you're messing around, you're talking normal, but then you got to resort to that parent voice, you know what I mean? That dad voice, that mom voice, where they know you're not messing around. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, where it's like, okay, hey, let's relax, chill out. And they're like, bleh, they're going crazy. You're like, hey, relax. Hey, right now, stop. It's time to chill. How many have had to use that? How many have had to use that parent voice, that authority voice, right? Amen. How many have had to use that this week? Anybody have to use that this week? Amen. Everybody else is lying in this room right now. How many had to use that voice this morning? How many had to use that voice this morning to get here? So listen, this is what's happening in this text, okay? This is Jesus' last few moments on the earth. This is called the ascension. This is where Jesus has gathered a few hundred of his disciples, including the 12. They're on a mountaintop somewhere just outside Jerusalem. This is his final appearance. This is his final glimpse, his final words before he finally goes to heaven to take his place where he is right now today at the right hand of God the Father. And the book of Hebrews says that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. And do you know what Jesus is actually doing right now? The Bible says that right now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father at the throne, and he is praying for you and for me. The Bible says he's making intercessions for you and for me. What that means is this. See, some of you are like, well, I don't pray much because I don't know what to pray. I feel inadequate when I pray. This is the good news. I don't have to have all the words to pray because when I pray in Jesus' name, what I believe happens is that Jesus takes my prayer and he turns them and makes them what they need to be and then gives those to the Father. That's what he's doing. He's in between. He's interceding. He's standing in between, making intercession for you and me. Amen? Somebody said, I hope so. So this is Jesus. This is not the Jesus we saw last week showing up with breakfast on the beach. having a nice, intimate, tender moment with his closest friends and his closest disciples. No, this moment in Matthew 28, this is King Jesus, okay? This is not the timid lamb who was sent to slaughter. These words of Jesus in this final appearance before he's ascended, this is King Jesus in his most authoritative tone. This is not Jesus stroking Peter, saying everything's going to be okay and I'm restoring you. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is giving kingly edicts, kingly commands. He is laying forth kingdom principles and kingdom law to his subjects to obey in the earth as he goes to take his place. Amen? And so we need to switch our hearing when we read Matthew 28. Most of us in this room, if you've been in church any time at all, you've probably heard this scripture somewhere before. This is a scripture that in churches we like to put on the wall. And this is really our mission as a church. This is why we are here. Listen, reaching, encouraging, and discipling. We didn't make that up. We've got that right from the book because we're taking the commands of our King. Amen, somebody? So I want you to hear, don't hear this Jesus, don't hear these words as optional things that we can add to our life or not. No, this is a king speaking to his subjects, giving a king's command. This is the dad voice. This is the mom voice. This is the voice of authority. Amen? And that command is threefold, three things in that command, okay? What's he say? He says, go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them to follow what I've taught you, okay? So there's three parts of that. The first part of that is this, go. We have go, disciple, and teach. Let's talk about go for just a second, okay? Listen, he says go. Everybody say go. Turn to your neighbor, say go. Don't leave, stay here, but go, okay? Go, 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 go. Pass go, collect go, get around go. We've got to go, let's go. How many more times is that guy gonna say the word go? Here's what I want you to understand about what he says here. Notice this. Number one, he doesn't say where to go, and he doesn't say how to go. He just says go. Amen? And I believe it's the absolute genius of Jesus that he gives us a command, but gives us the freedom to figure out how in each one of our situations and in each one of our settings and wherever we are, he leaves it up to us to figure out how we go. And he doesn't care how we go, and he doesn't even really care where we go to a point. He just says our job is to go. Everybody say go. Okay, our job is to go. That means that when you go to a classroom, where you go might be a classroom. Where you go might be an office space. Where you go might be a grocery store. Where you go might be a gas station. Where you go might be, I don't know what, listen, but here's the deal. Wherever I go, I'm called to go like Jesus said go. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say go. Okay, we've got to go, whether it's a factory, a boardroom, a remote village somewhere in South America, listen, or just our home where we're raising families. Listen, we have been called to go. Let me say it like this. Jesus has called us to go wherever we are. Okay, Jesus has called us to go wherever we are. What that means is we have to have a go mindset wherever we are, okay? I don't want you for a second to think that going means that you have to get a plane ticket and go across an ocean and find some remote village in the jungle somewhere, people that have never heard the gospel. No, friend, there are people that have never heard the gospel right around the corner. There are people that you probably see and interact with on a regular basis that are not following Jesus at all. Come on, somebody. There are people that you see everywhere that you go that have false ideas and crazy ideas, thinking that God doesn't love them and God is not for them and that Jesus isn't for their life. No, listen, we have been called to go wherever we are. Amen? We have to have a go mindset. When I wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, I'm called to go. I know I'm doing the regular things that I've done for the last 20 years, but I'm going. Amen, somebody? That's where I'm going. We go wherever we are. It also means this. Listen, don't miss this. whenever we come together with a go mindset. Whether you're coming together in this building, or whether you're coming together online, or whether we're coming together around a coffee table or in a coffee shop, or whether we're coming together for, listen, we come to go. Which means that when we come together, we still have a go mentality and a go mindset. We are here to see people brought to Jesus. Amen. When we come together, it's to see people won to the Lord. Amen. When we come together in youth group, it's to see teenagers won to the Lord. When we come together in Bible study, it's to see people come to Jesus. Amen. When we come together on Wednesday night to pray, we come to see people. We have come here with a go mentality, a go mindset. And what that means is that I've got to be willing to want to be ready to lay down my personal preferences and my Christian habits and my creature comforts in order to bring people to Jesus. Amen? Because we have a go mentality about everything we do. Jesus said, go. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. Who do we go to? Who do we go to? Bible says, Jesus said, go into all the nations, okay? That word nations in the Greek word is the Greek word ethnos, which is where we get, which translates not only into nations, like not just nations that have been plotted out on a map and we draw an imaginary line around them and say, this is that nation. Which isn't that weird when you think, like, that's like a weird thing that with happened over. Like, we just like said, okay, here's this line that we're going to draw on the land, and that's this. And that's so, that is kind of bizarre. I digress. It doesn't just mean nations that we've drawn a line around, it means tribes and ethnicities. That's who we go to. Amen? We go, so if we're going to all tribes, all ethnicities, all people, that means we're going to have to go to people. We've been called to go to people that we don't agree with. We've been called to go and win people that don't vote like we do. We've been called to go to people that have different backgrounds than we do. We've been called to go to people that have hurt you and lied about you and talked about you. We've been called to go to people that have caused problems in your life. We have been called to go to people that have offended you. Oh, that's getting real quiet. And listen, let me just say this. This is to Red Life Church. This is our setting. We live in a small town. Amen? We've been here almost 10 years now. There's been more than a few people that have come into these doors and either got offended and left, or just stopped coming all together, or this and that happened. There's been more than a few people. More than a few. Devonna, isn't that right? That have gotten mad and said things and said this and that. And listen, we live in a town of 2,500 people. I see them at Dollar General. I see them at IGA. I would say I see him at Walmart, but we don't have Walmart. What I'm saying is this. I'm sorry, I know. I'm stepping in it today. I'm just right in here. Listen. If we're going to be serious about fulfilling this command, not a suggestion, not an idea, not a if you feel like it. If we're going to be serious about fulfilling this command, we're in our particular setting where God has called us to go, we are going to have to get over ourselves and our hurts and our offenses real quick, because there are people that Jesus has called us to go to that have talked about us, lied about us, come and gone, gotten mad, gotten this. Come on, somebody. And when we come together, we better not for a second think, well, how can they come to this church? This is my church. They don't have any business coming here. No, they have the same business coming here that you did, because you weren't always the great little person, peach and rose, that you are right now. Amen, somebody. What I'm saying is we got to be real serious about this. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. And when someone comes and goes and gets hurt and gets offended, we can't just disown and dismiss, because I don't know what God might do sometime. I don't know. I was not planning on getting to any of this today, but I don't know what God might do sometime in the future. So we can't burn bridges, and we can't write people off, and we can't shun people and whatever else. Listen, man, why? Not because I'm serious. We've got to be serious about taking this command, making it what we do. Amen. About going. Amen, somebody? We go to all people. All people. All people. He says this. He says you go, and then not just go, but you make disciples. Everybody say disciples. Disciples simply just, it's real simple. It means a follower of Jesus. Now that's what makes the church, not just this church, but God's church around the world, that's what makes us different than every other nonprofit and every other charity. Yes, we do charity work. Yes, we do compassion ministry. Yes, we serve the less fortunate. But that is not the only thing that we're called to do. In fact, it's not even the main thing that we're called to do. It's not even the primary objective of what we're called to do. The main thing that we have been called and anointed and empowered to do is to go and make disciples, or to make followers of Jesus. Amen? And that means that we are going for beyond simply getting people to make a decision. We are called to do more. This command is about more than just making converts or making decisions. Listen, we are here to make followers of Jesus. Amen, somebody? Let me just give you just a little check in here, because we haven't done this in a while. So far, over the last year and a half so far, just by our best numbers, and it is hard to track because of the way that we do it here, but just our best guess, we've seen about 25 people make decisions for Jesus Christ so far this year. Amen, somebody? That's something to celebrate. Amen? Amen? That's awesome. We want to see that happen even more. Amen? We want to see more hands raised. We want to see more people respond to altar calls. We want to see more people be baptized. Amen, somebody? Now we excited about that, and that's a great number for a church this size, for sure, no doubt about it. Here's what needs to go up a little bit. Listen, we've seen, and this is great, I celebrate this, but this needs to be more. We've seen five, and I'm celebrating this, and at the same time I'm saying it's probably something that we need to push forward a little more. We've seen five people in the last year go through Growth Track online. Amen. That's awesome. That's five people saying, hey, I'm taking steps to get closer to Jesus, to get closer to my walk with God. Listen, I'm telling you right now, though, that's a number that probably should be up. Amen, somebody? And then the number that we really need to get up, because this is all about discipleship. Again, it starts with the decision, but that decision should be something that begins to move me in a different direction in my life, in a lifestyle that I'm following Jesus, and that's what we've been called to do. See, too many times, and I'm guilty of this. We're guilty of this. Too many times we get excited about the, hey, I'm saying yes to Jesus, and then we end it right there. But that's not what Jesus said do, okay? Amen, somebody? Listen. Daryl, you're a farmer. You get the harvest, you get that corn and the beans, and it does, you take it in the field. But that's not, once you get the harvest, you don't just cut the corn out the field and then leave it in a bin. You do for a while, but eventually you take that corn and that bean, you take it somewhere, and then they process it and it does other stuff, right? Like, we don't sow the seed and grow the corn just to harvest it and sit it in a barn somewhere. No, that corn then becomes processed and dust. Like, there's something that's manufactured. There's something that's produced out of it. Amen? And a lot of times we look at what we do in church. We go, okay, well, we got the hand raised. We got the decision. They said the prayer. They said the words. They filled out the form online. So we did it. We got it. No, all we did was just get them in from the field. Now it's time to start figuring out what God's called that harvest to do and to be, what God wants to produce out of that, what the fruit of that harvest is going to be. Amen, somebody? That's what Jesus is talking about. Make disciples, make followers of Jesus. So we celebrate 25 decisions. We celebrate five people going through Growth Track this past year. But we say, hey, if you haven't gone through, listen, let's take, we want to see more. Amen? We have huddles. This is our small group ministry that meets every other first Sunday of the month. Ladies and men's rotating. One Sunday ladies, one the next month men's. Okay? If you're not plugged into that and haven't been connected to that, you need to connect to that. Why? Because it's in fellowship and relationship that we begin to grow with one another. And we begin to share each other's burdens, share each other's struggles. And discipleship happens through relationship. Amen? Amen, somebody? We have our digital life group through Facebook groups, Red Life Brookville. If you're on Facebook, get on there. Listen, you say, I don't want to be on Facebook. Then just get, hey, listen, I'm not going to tell you. Get on there and just get in that group and chat and talk and encourage one another. I love seeing it. It's so cool to see that happen. Some weeks it's less. Some weeks it's great. But man, it's encouraging to know there's a place to go and get prayer and talk and chat and ask questions. Amen. That's all part of the discipleship process. Amen. And if you're not plugged into that, I encourage you to plug in even more. Listen, we have Wednesday night, on the first Wednesday of every month, prayer happens right over here. That's part of discipleship. That's part of, because I can't be anything unless I'm spending time in prayer with God, amen? And as a church, corporately, if we want to see the power of God manifested, we've got to go after it. We've got to seek it. And that is more than just on Sunday morning for 30 minutes when the worship teams lead us. Man, we got to get around, amen? I've shared all those. Those are just a few opportunities and ways to become a disciple and to grow in discipleship. And I've shared all that to get to this one line. This is really important. The only way that I can make disciples is by being a disciple. Amen? The only way to make disciples is to be a disciple. So if this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, this is his edict, his command to his kingdom, go and make disciples. So, okay, I got to go everywhere I am, and then I got to make disciples. But I can't make disciples unless I am a disciple, so I've got to be a disciple. Amen? The genius of Jesus tricked us right into it. Because he knows that what he wants from us is not just decisions, but discipleship. So in the kingdom law, the greatest thing that we're called to do, the mission of what we're called to do, he, without even saying it, intertwined the system in there that says, man, I've got to be a disciple. I've got to be a follower of Jesus. Amen, somebody? We got to make disciples. There's ladies' Bible study that meets on Thursdays. There's areas to serve. That's all part of discipleship. And if we're going to take this command seriously, that starts with me being a disciple. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, be a disciple. And then the third part of that, go disciple. And I'm lumping baptism as part of discipleship. That's in with disciples. And then he says, teach the new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. Teach. Everybody say teach. What are we supposed to teach? What's it say? What are we supposed to teach? All the commands that who has given us? Who? Jesus. Family. We are called to teach Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen, somebody? The moment that we as a church begin to teach or to lift up or to hold up or to prop up any other ideology other than the one that Jesus laid forth in the New Testament, we have stopped being a church. We've become a political organization. And when we do that, we lose power from heaven. Amen, somebody? And I don't know about you, but I feel like in the times we're living in, I need power from heaven way more than I need the approval of men. Oh, we need the blessing of God way more than we need the applause of man. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit way more than we need the okay or the blue check mark that anybody else can give us. And the only way to do that is to be obsessed and to teach and to preach the things that Jesus taught. We will only teach Jesus. Amen? That's what we're called to teach. Why? Because it's in the teachings of Jesus that real freedom is found. It's in the life, in the ministry, in the presence of Jesus that any real transformation, that any real healing, that any real anything of substance that can move you beyond just what's going on this earth and into the next one, that's where it's found. It's in Jesus. Amen? So go, disciple, teach. That's the King's command. That's the King's command. And then he gives us this encouragement. This is how we know we can do this. He says, he says something. Where is it? Here you go. Verse 20. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a king like no other. See, what most kings do, what most leaders do on earth, what most presidents do, what most people in positions of power do, they give an edict, they give a command, they give a decree, they give an instruction, and then they sit back and watch people go and do it. But this king, our king, Jesus has said, hey, I'm going to give you a command, and I'm going to give you an instruction, and I'm going to give you a law to follow, and I'm going to give you a way to frame your life. I'm going to give you a mission. But he says, hey, I'm not just going to sit in heaven somewhere watching you do. No, he says, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to be right there with you, doing it with you, working in you, working through you. And so the encouragement is this: I can take this command seriously because the king who gave the command has promised to be with me wherever I go. So I know that I can go wherever I am and Jesus is with me. I can become a disciple and help make disciples and be involved in making disciples, and the king is right there with me helping me do it. I can teach Jesus and Jesus is right there teaching not only beside me but through me, with me. Amen. We have a king that is with us in the work, in the labor. In fact, if you look at the Gospel of Mark, in the last words of Mark, what did he say? He said that the disciples worked with Jesus, going everywhere, preaching the gospel and performing miracles, healing people, casting out devils, and doing all the same stuff that Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus and them worked together. I believe that when the king finds a person or a people that will get serious about this command, that'll be a people that finds the king working right there with them. To the end of the age. To the end of the age. I'm so glad that the king, Jesus, he didn't speak to those 500 and said, until the day you die. No, he said to the end of the age, because that means it's for us too. Amen? Now, I'm almost done. And I want to close with just this last idea, something I think we need to see. The very beginning says, the 11 disciples, verse 16, left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them. Now, this is about 40 days after the resurrection. We've looked and talked at just about, we've at least mentioned, I believe, all of these appearances that have shown up. They've had the breakfast on the beach. The women have seen him outside of the tomb. He showed up personally, individually, to Peter and to James, and they saw him on the Emmaus Road. But this is amazing. It says when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Still. Some of them are doubting. And it's so easy to cast stones at them until I look at my own life and I see how many times God has shown up. And I see how many times God has come through. And I see how many times Jesus has made himself known in my life. And yet still, I struggle sometimes with doubt and fear. Still, sometimes it's difficult for me to get to a place of belief. And I got to remember, hey, I'm just like them and they are just like us. Amen, somebody? Still, some of them doubted. But here's the thing, that word doubt, that word doubt in the original Greek language, it doesn't necessarily mean like to not believe or unbelief. It has to do with a lack of clarity, actually. It has to do with a lack of clarity. Meaning that their doubt was not that they, I don't believe it was that they were doubting Jesus being alive or Jesus doing what everything he said he would do. It's that they were unclear about which direction to go. And as they are unclear about which direction to go, and this is what I want you to see, notice this. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. Some of them doubted or were unsure or were unclear about where to go. And then Jesus came and spoke to them. Where did Jesus show up at? Put this back. Can you put that on the screen for me? Before that. Yeah. 17, then I want you to go to 18. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. They worshiped him, and then Jesus came. Jesus came and showed up in an atmosphere of worship. And still in an atmosphere of worship, some were unclear, some doubted, but they worshiped anyway. And it was in that atmosphere that Jesus, the King, shows up. And when he shows up, he gives very clear direction and commands. Amen? And I said all that to set this up and to say this one thing. Listen, you cannot see Jesus and stay neutral. See, some of you have been praying and believing, hey, God, I want you to show up. God, I need you to show yourself to me. Lord, I'm struggling. I want you to show up and show off and show out of my life, and I want to see you. And I applaud that, and we should be hungry for that. We want to be thirsty and desperate for that. But I want you to know what you're asking for, because when Jesus shows up, he shows up in clarity, and when you see him, you are forced to come to a decision. There is no neutrality, no hanging out on the fence, no gray area when it comes to Jesus and who he is and what he's going to ask us to do. Amen? When I see Jesus, I am forced to a decision to say, I will either submit and follow the King, or I will not, and I will continue to follow my own way. But there is, when he shows up, when he speaks, when his voice bursts through all the noise and brings clarity to my life about a thing or a situation or a direction, I then am forced to make a decision. And the decision, listen, the decision is not, well, I'll either do what Jesus said do or won't. No. The decision is I will either continue to follow him or I won't. Come on, somebody. If I'm walking along the way and Jesus shows up and says, hey, turn this way, Jesus goes that way, and I say, nah, I'm going to continue to go this way, I have ceased to follow. Amen? When Jesus shows up, I can't remain neutral. I can't remain neutral. When Jesus shows up and an altar call is given and the gospel is presented and I hear that Jesus died on the cross for me, gave his life for me, and calls me to give my life to him, calls me to receive his forgiveness, there's no middle ground there. It's either I receive it or I don't. When Jesus says, go, make disciples, teach Jesus. There's no neutrality there. No, I either do that or I don't. And I believe just like Jesus, in an atmosphere of worship, shows up, and even though they were worshiping, they believed in who he was, but they were doubting, they were unclear about where their direction was supposed to go, where their next step was supposed to be, what their next thing was supposed to do. I believe that right now, today, I believe that right now in 2022, I believe that right now, even in this moment right now, even some of you, before we say amen and end our time together like this, I believe Jesus wants to speak clearly and wants to bring direction to areas that you're unclear. Amen, somebody? I sense that in my heart. Will you stand me all over this room right now? We just take a second to bow your heads. Close your eyes for just a moment, just as a way to focus. It's not some weird preacher trick or anything. It's just about focusing and blocking out distraction and just giving the Holy Spirit some room and some space and an opportunity to just speak personally. If you've got some stuff you've been unclear about, maybe some unclear direction, wondering which way to go. Maybe you're at a crossroads. Maybe you're at a fork in the road. Maybe you've got some decisions to make. I believe Jesus wants to bring clarity to those even right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will help us to hear your voice. Lord, I pray right now that you will help us to know exactly which direction you are calling us to go. Lord, I pray that you will make it so clear. Lord, speak so clearly right now in this room, right now through our stream, right now wherever we're together. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your voice would speak with such clarity and direction that there would be no neutrality, that there would be no doubt, that there would be no, we will either do it or we won't. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now look at me for just 1 second. I promise I'm going to be done in 3 minutes. Well, I'm not going to promise. I'm going to try to be done in 3 minutes. I don't know about you, but when it comes to this final command from our King, I don't want to leave anything on the table. And I don't want to be neutral about it at all. Amen. If you feel that with me, say amen. Amen. Red Life Church, we are not going to remain neutral. We are going to clearly go after this command. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Come on. Let's pray. I'm going to pray that this command would be the foundation and backbone of our soul right now in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, man, if this is your house, this is your home, this is where God's called you to get fed, I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to receive this right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that God, you would burden each and every one of us individually and start right here with me. I pray that this would be a personal thing for us, a personal thing for me, and God, let it be a personal, and God, let it also be a corporate thing that is embedded in this place. God, I pray that you give us a go mentality wherever we are. Lord, I pray that even when we're just busy in the day, bring this, remind us. Remind us as we go for the 100th time to that job. Remind us as we go for the 500th time into that classroom. Remind us as we go into places that we're so familiar with. I pray you give us fresh eyes and a fresh sense of going wherever we are in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that you make us disciples who make disciples. And Lord, I pray that you help us to teach you and only you, lift up you and only you, exalt you and only you, magnify you and only you above everything else in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you show us, give us names and faces and opportunities to go in Jesus' name. We make that commitment. We lay that before you, Lord, and we thank you for being with us to do it in every step of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. In just a moment, these altars are available if you need prayer. There are people here to pray with you if you need prayer this morning. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this from the Lord. Let's worship for just a moment before we dismiss. Receive this right now, this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name.